I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana. Thanks for joining us for the podcast today, brought to you by Blackfoot Communications.
Does your home qualify for a $70 discount on your internet bill? Blackfoot Communications is proud to partner with the FCC to help ensure that households can afford the broadband necessary for work, school, healthcare, and more. For more information on this federal program and to see if your household qualifies for a discount on your internet service, visit goblackfoot.com/ACP. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
Well, this would be an interesting story. A story of a 12-year-old Nicole Bennett. She's taking on a pretty heavy task, organizing a constitutional ballot initiative for the 2024 election. Is that something that you would do? I don't know. I know there's a lot to it. What's the issue? We'll talk about it in great detail. In Montana, the state Supreme Court sets the rules and has the governing authority over the Montana bar, and thus power and authority over nearly all of the lawyers who present cases before it. Some see that as the proverbial fox guarding the hen house. 12-year-old Nicole Bennett is on a mission to reestablish the proper roles in government. We talk about that today on Voices of Montana. Big issue. I think it's really interesting how we have a 12-year-old Nicole Bennett who is taking on this task. And how did she get involved in this? There's a story behind it. It's going to involve Lisa and Nicole. Lisa's Nicole's mom. And then also Jerry Schillinger from House District 37. So we have them all on board to talk about this issue. First of all, Nicole, good morning. How are you?
Good. Good to be here.
Yeah, thank you for being here. Appreciate that. And Lisa, you as well?
Absolutely. Happy to be here. Thank you for hosting us.
Yeah, no, it's a good issue, and I'm really excited to talk to both of you about it, as well as Representative Jerry Schillinger, House District 37. It's an interesting House District, Jerry, just south of the Missouri River and then all the way to Alzada, actually, in some areas. How are you doing, sir?
Very good, Tom. Thank you. Yeah, it's a big, wonderful district, actually. It starts at the Musselshell River as well on the west side, goes all the way to North Dakota and down to the South Dakota and Wyoming borders. So it's a big district. It's going to change a little with the redistricting coming up. House District 37, or the district I live in, will become House District 34, and we'll drop off Garfield County but pick up Weibo County and a little more Powder River and Custer County. So it's a wonderful district, actually. A lot of good folks.
Yeah, it is. It's rather large. I'll ask how you were connected with Nicole and Lisa, but first let's say hello to Nicole again. A 12-year-old, homeschooled, very interested in civics. At age 10, she attended a teen pact for the first time, and this is where this journey started, Nicole. Thank you for doing this. Talk about your interest in it. Talk about how you attended that teen pact, as is noted here, and how you got interested in all of this, Nicole.
So teen pact is a great Christian organization that teaches kids about their state politics, or not their state politics, their state legislature and their state government. Mm-hmm. And for teen pact, you have to write a sample bill as if you're presenting it in front of the legislature. Mm-hmm. And I was reading a Wall Street Journal article on lawyers, and I was thinking about how that's not checks and balances if the judiciary controls who becomes a lawyer and lawyers become judges. So it's a closed-loop system.
And very much a closed-loop system. So why did you decide, though, to take this on? I mean, first you wrote that bill, and that was for an assignment. But then what happened? Because you decided to turn this assignment into something real.
My mom asked me one day, this seems like a really good idea, and so we decided to actually make it something real. So we were trying to find legislators that were willing to take on this bill, and I found Jerry, and we started the process. But then about halfway through, we figured out it was unconstitutional, because in the Montana Constitution, my mom can tell you exactly where, I forget, but it is in conflict with, so we had to take on this constitutional amendment if we wanted to pass this bill. It was Article 7, Section 2.
And let's have Representative Schillinger then talk about this, because you carried a House bill, 965, to try to enact this. It failed. Talk about talk about setting up this bill, Jerry. But first of all, talk about connecting with Nicole and Lisa and getting to work on this. I would imagine as a representative, that's so grassroots that it probably warmed your heart a lot.
Well, Tom, you're exactly right. And I was going to interject what you already did when Nicole and Lisa and the entire family came and visited us in the harvest field 2 years ago. Nicole was actually 10 years old, so this journey began when she was a 10-year-old, not even the young 12 that she is now. So, yeah, I was very impressed with her and her family, and they presented a compelling case of why Lisa, for instance, should, or not Lisa, but Nicole, for instance, should be able to study and set for the bar without going through the expensive process of getting an undergraduate degree and then going to law school. If she's disciplined or anyone else is disciplined enough to educate themselves, just like as she had mentioned Abraham Lincoln did, and be able to take and pass the bar, then they should be able to get their law license. So I was very impressed with that as she presented it, and it made a lot of sense, and I think it feeds right into the whole idea that a lot of people are kind of fed up with the legal system, I think, and how the judiciary seems to have strayed from their mission of interpreting our laws and Constitution to actually trying to write laws from the bench. So it kind of all ties together, and that's what really got me involved and interested.
I want to say hello to Lisa as well. And Lisa, have you addressed that moment of inspiration, I guess, that teachable moment when you saw in your 10-year-old, as she described, you know, a curiosity and, you know, really maybe a puzzlement over this, and then initiating that journey as a mother. I'm sure it's maybe very much a sense of pride, but also there's, you know, some concern about how it's all going to turn out.
Well, absolutely, but regardless of how it turns out, it's an educational journey in and of itself, which will build her self-confidence, build her knowledge of the law and the process, and so no matter what happens, she's going to get great experience out of this. But I think what really helped the impetus for this was all the news articles that regarded something that had to do with the legal profession, and as she got more involved, the more we followed it. So we weren't necessarily all that involved in following the legal profession until this bill came up. And then we dove deep into it, and I allowed her to continue doing side research projects with it as we were homeschooling, because I do homeschool all three of my kids. And she discovered so many things along the way that it kind of meant that we couldn't abandon this project. Like, even though it didn't pass the legislature, none of the constitutional amendments that were brought forward did pass the legislature this session. So it's not like her bill was unique. She had a valiant effort, and she made it farther than a lot of the other constitutional amendments, because Jerry Schillinger was able to get it out of committee and onto the House floor for a vote. Unfortunately, we have a lot of lawyers that are legislators, and we have a lot of basically representatives that aren't as familiar with the legal process. And a lot of people are brainwashed that the only place that you learn anything is by going to school. They don't realize that life teaches you a lot. You learn a lot through mentorships, apprenticeships, just from other people. I'm sure that most boys in this world did not learn to change oil in their car by going to a technical institute to learn how to do that and change a flat tire. I'm sure their father spent time teaching them how to do basic auto 101. And it's the same thing with any other profession. A lot of it can be learned by people who already know how to do it. And it doesn't make sense to not allow mentorships to give you your licensing.
That's Lisa Bennett, mother of Nicole Bennett, now at 12 years old. At 10 years old, she attended a teen PAC and then began this journey where she's now got, it's actually ballot initiative 7 on the ballot, and has it been approved? Go back to Nicole. Nicole, has this been approved by the Attorney General, the language?
It is still in the Attorney General's office right now, but hopefully it'll get approved really soon. We were hoping to get it approved by the 4th of July to gather signatures then, but it didn't make it in time.
What did you know about, and we'll talk about signature gathering, because that's a whole other process, but what did you know about the three branches of government and the separation of powers and the checks and balances going into this as opposed to how much you know now.
In 1972, Montana redid their constitution, and they gave, the legislature gave their power away to the judiciary on licensing lawyers, and it created a closed-loop system where lawyers become judges, and judges decide who becomes lawyers. So it really, really made things hard for people to access the justice system.
Yeah, including yourself. So when Representative Schillinger brought this as a bill, House Bill 965, and then what did you learn about all the testimony either for or against?
Sorry, can you repeat that?
Yeah, when Representative Schillinger brought this to the legislature and there was hearings on this bill in the committee, what is your take on some of the opposition to the bill, or how did that inform you about moving forward?
Well, a lot of these people don't want competition because having people become lawyers would create more competition in their field of work. And the Bar Association especially didn't want this because they don't want to give away their power. They still want the control.
And Mom wants to add something here, too. A lot of times, too, lawyers like to convince you that the law is extremely complicated and has extremely devastating results if it's not applied properly, and therefore you need to be a special person that's gone through years and years of training in order to become a lawyer. But just like every profession, you have people that graduate, like we'll look at stats in Baltimore, Maryland, right? Almost every high school graduate in some high schools graduate without even being able to read. So it's the same thing with the law. There are lots of people that graduate with law degrees, but they really don't know the practicality of how to practice law. They may have passed whatever test they had to pass, but it still doesn't give them the knowledge to be functional attorneys. Additionally, there are specialties in the law profession. So you have patent attorneys, you have divorce attorneys, you have what we call the ambulance chaser, which are the injury attorneys, and all of them know their branch of the law. You would never ask a divorce attorney to help you file a patent, and vice versa, you wouldn't ask a patent attorney to represent you in divorce court. So as a result of these specialties, you end up with lawyers who feel that because their specialty has such a huge impact on decisions for the individual they're representing, that they don't feel that anyone else could be as qualified. But you also have attorneys who went through a horrible law school process where it was very difficult, challenging, financially as well as intellectually, and they feel that everyone else should have to suffer like they did. It's sort of like the hazing that goes through in fraternities. If you got hazed in a fraternity, you don't want that hazing to end because you want everyone else to go through the same process you did to be considered a member. And that's just not right, and on lots of different levels. But essentially, it's the lawyers who feel only someone who's gone through the exact same education they did are qualified to become attorneys.
And very much that's an opinion, and I know that lawyers would probably disagree with that, but I understand where that comes from. I've got to take a break, but before I do, I'm going to take this time and ask Representative Schillinger just for some comments. Jerry has been kind of listening here. What was the opposition as this measure, or at least the guts of it, moved into the legislature?
Well, essentially, the bottom line was in the representative that came and testified for the bar was, we like things the way they are. We think it works just fine. And my response to that was, well, I would bet that everyone in the energy industry would like to be able to self-regulate as well.
Yeah.
And, or in the banking industry or any other industry, but that's just not the way we do things. And I would just mention, Tom, that House Bill 965 just made a very simple change to the Constitution. As was noted, it's in Article 7, Section 2 and Subsection 3, where it says, talking about the Supreme Court, it may make the rules governing appellate procedure, practice, and procedure for all other courts. And House Bill 965 just eliminated the words admission to the bar and the conduct of its members. So really my House bill didn't make any specific changes to how all that functions other than it takes it out from under the purview of the Supreme Court and lets it be a legislative process, and in my opinion, opens it up to the public to participate in just how the rules of conduct and admission to the bar and things like that are done. And I think it makes it a much more transparent process and helps the public to participate.
You know, and that's kind of what Nicole noted as well earlier. I want to come back because there's more to talk, lots more to talk about, something known as legal deserts and why this is important for Montana. Nicole Bennett, Lisa Bennett, Representative Jerry Schillinger here today on Voices of Montana.
Blackfoot Communications is excited to announce new voice services for small businesses. Paired with our internet services, business Wi-Fi, and technical support, your business can stay connected to your employees, customers, and communities around the clock. Sign up for services in less than 2 minutes at goblackfoot.com/morethanvoice. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
I welcome you back here as we are chatting with Lisa and Nicole Bennett. Lisa's Nicole's mom. Nicole's now 12 years old. She is initiating this process for a constitutional initiative, a ballot initiative, and it's actually ballot initiative number 7, which would, here's the language of it, an initiative to amend the Montana Constitution to remove rulemaking authority from the Supreme Court to govern admission to the bar and conduct of its members, and return rulemaking authority to the Montana legislature where it was prior to the 1972 Montana Constitutional Convention, and provides an effective date. You'll have an opportunity to vote on this should it qualify for the ballot. We'll talk about that process too, because Nicole, and congratulations on this, and thank you for being here. That's quite a process. What is that process that from this point for you to qualify this ballot initiative? It's constitutional to the ballot.
So once the AG approves it, I need to gather 75,000 signatures across 40 House districts to qualify for the ballot.
Okay, how are you going to do that?
Grassroots and volunteers. That's my only hope for here. I need a lot of volunteers. My hope is to get 750 people to gather 100 signatures each, and that would give me the signatures I need.
And you'll need that help. I mean, Jerry, Representative Schillinger, how are you at this point encouraging Nicole? I mean, obviously, 75,000 signatures in 40 House districts, that is a large haul, but don't be discouraged, right?
No, absolutely. I think it's a great idea. And when Lisa first mentioned to me after the session that that's the route they were going to take, I thought, well, that is an excellent idea, because from the sentiment I received from people in this area of the state is that there's a lot of discontent with the way the judiciary operates today. And part of that discontent originates with the exact crux of what House Bill 965 did, and what Nicole's initiative now is trying to do is to separate some of that overreach, I guess is what I would call it,
yeah,
that the Supreme Court has over its members. And one other thing I just mentioned, Tom, you mentioned back this was done in the 1972 Constitution, or maybe Nicole did. 22 of the 100 Constitutional Convention delegates were attorneys. So 22% of that body was attorneys, and I would just also add, in my opinion, probably 1972 is probably one of the most liberal times in our Montana history, and
probably,
what a terrible time to write a new constitution.
Yeah, the 60s didn't hit Montana until the 70s.
Tom,
I thought
of Lisa.
That.
Can
yeah,
I
ahead.
Add something to what Schillinger said? So what a lot of people don't realize either is that one of the representatives, one of the delegates to that commission, that person was Representative Kate, and Kate made a mention at that point in time that this was a terrible idea. He advised against it because he says the next thing you know, the Montana Supreme Court is going to mandate membership in the Bar Association.
And shortly thereafter, that's exactly what happened. Now, why is that such a bad thing? Because mandating something, meaning you have to do it in order to be a practicing attorney, means that if the Bar Association were to kick you out for whatever reason, you now no longer can practice your livelihood. And considering the fact that the average debt a law school graduate has is approximately $150,000, if you lose your livelihood, how are you paying back those loans, let alone moving forward with an income, especially after you've had to dedicate 4 years as an undergrad and an additional 3 years full-time in law school, so you have postponed your livelihood years by going to school that long, and you've incurred all that debt in the same time. Now, this is a big problem in the news today. A lot of your listeners may be aware of something called Project 65 by Mark Elias, who used to be Hillary Clinton's attorney. And what that 65 stands for were the 65 attorneys that were representing former President Trump with his election battle as far as the legitimacy of that 2020 election. The goal of Project 65 was to disbar all 65 of those attorneys, essentially rendering them without a livelihood. Because when you get disbarred in one state, you can't just go to the other state, because the other state is not going to allow you to join the bar if you've been disbarred from another. It's highly unlikely that that would happen. So it essentially makes it as if you can no longer practice law, and there goes your degree and all of your knowledge with it.
Yeah, and then I got to take a break, and I'll come back because I want to hit because maybe of this action here years ago in Montana, we have what you referred to as legal deserts. So we'll talk about that. Nicole Bennett, the 12-year-old who is proposing this ballot initiative, Lisa Bennett, her mother, Representative Jerry Schillinger, House District 37, today on Voices. Back after these headlines from Brian Bennett.
Does your home qualify for a $70 discount on your internet bill? Blackfoot Communications is proud to partner with the FCC to help ensure that households can afford the broadband necessary for work, school, healthcare, and more. For more information on this federal program and to see if your household qualifies for a discount on your internet service, visit goblackfoot.com/ACP. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
Welcome back. Just enough time in this segment to understand better what these legal deserts are. I mean, I can look at a note here, Golden Valley, no lawyers there. Mar, Petroleum County, there's no lawyers there. Daniels County, just two. I want to live in those places, but it does have ramifications. Who wants this one, Jerry or Lisa or Nicole? What are legal deserts?
So legal deserts are when there is less than one lawyer for 1,000 people, and Jerry Schillinger's district is actually one of the biggest legal deserts there is in Montana. Montana's legal deserts are at a crisis point. There aren't enough lawyers in Montana. And if you can find one, it's really hard to make sure to find a lawyer that can take your case, let alone if it's the right lawyer. And a lot of these lawyers, they're concentrated in the cities. And it's so hard to find a lawyer that's actually willing to take your cases. Even if you can find one, the lawyers that are usually in these counties are the county attorneys, and they can't represent you.
Do you go ahead.
And I'll add that you also have that of these total figures of lawyers, a lot of them work for government, so maybe they work for the AG office in addition to the county attorney, or they could be corporate attorneys. And none of those attorneys can represent the normal person.
Yeah. Will this help?
You're talking about the ballot initiative?
Yeah, how will it help?
The ballot initiative will definitely help bringing, especially Native American Indians. Native American Indians can't get to law school easily, so this would help them be able to represent their own people.
I think what Nicole's trying to say is that if we open things up to mentorships, if we open it up to alternatives to having to go away to school, then you have the opportunity for more rural attorneys, which is what we need, because that's where most of the deserts are located, are in rural counties. And the way that you do that is if you do have a county attorney or maybe a retired attorney in that county or region, you can then have the opportunity for someone who took a different profession. Maybe they became a social worker or police officer And they've decided down the road that because of their profession.
I'm going to have to hold you right there, yep. Lisa. We've got a breakup coming. We're back with more Lisa Nicole and Representative Schillinger in just a bit.
Blackfoot Communications is excited to announce new voice services for small businesses. Paired with our internet services, business Wi-Fi, and technical support, your business can stay connected to your employees, customers, and communities around the clock. Sign up for services in less than 2 minutes at goblackfoot.com/morethanvoice. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
Oh, welcome back. I hope you're kicking it this Monday, right? It's the weekend or week off to a good start if you got some energy instead of dragging your tail like happens around here from time to time. No, we're gonna do it and then get out there. I'm already just one weekend past. I'm already thinking about the other. I'm normal, right? That's normal. Okay, that sounds good. Thanks for being here again. This issue, it's sort of the proverbial fox guarding the hen house when you have in Montana. It wasn't this way before the 1972 Constitution. Where it was the legislature that had more authority to set standards for those who represent people in Montana, our lawyers, before courts. After the 72 Constitution, that went to the state Supreme Court. And as soon as they got that power, then they made a move, as we're discussing here, to solidify that power. And they said that so they have authority over the Montana bar and thus power and authority over all the lawyers who present cases before that. And there is a mission from 12-year-old Nicole Bennett to reestablish the proper roles in government. She is trying to place the authority back into the legislative process in the legislative hands. For Montana's bar. And Nicole's with us here along with her mother, Lisa, Nicole and Lisa Bennett. And then Jerry Schillinger, Representative House District 37, who carried this message to the legislature in the 68th, but it was unsuccessful there. Although it did pass out of committee and did hit the floor for a full vote, a lot of constitutional amendments did not fare well in this last session. Let's get back with Lisa and Nicole as we're and thank you guys again for being here, Representative Schillinger. Let's pick up again, Lisa, final thoughts on this, as you mentioned, legal desert in Montana.
Yep. So legal deserts also lead into economic consequences. Not only is it more expensive for rural residents to actually find an attorney to represent them for whatever case they may need, from simple things like a will to more complicated things like divorce and child custody. But you also have to look at the economics of the lawyer who had to postpone their livelihood for 7 years, 4 years of undergrad, 3 years of law school, and leave with $150,000 worth of debt. And as a result, you end up having those people that practice law postpone buying a house, over 50% postpone buying a house, almost 50% postpone or decide not to have children or get married. And if you think about how our country works, it works on the family unit. It works on the support of more children being born into the United States to be productive so that our economy can grow. You'll see statistics on Japan and other countries where when their population declines, their birth rate declines, so does their economy. Well, I believe that the education, the advanced education, so advanced degrees, have led to many youth who do pursue those degrees deciding not to actually procreate and have families and get married and buy houses, and that all stifles our economy. So there's more repercussions than simply just I can't find a lawyer. There's also the grand scheme of how it affects our economy.
Representative Schillinger, I want to bring you in on this discussion here as well, because I noted in other states, some of those legislators and those bodies have made provisions for it doesn't require necessarily that 8-year or 7-year law degree to practice certain aspects of law. Is that something that the state can look at in terms of if we are finding that we have these legal deserts, that there are ways to address those legislatively?
Well, that's a good question, Tommy, and that goes right to the heart of of this initiative that Nicole is carrying, because right now the legislature doesn't have the constitutional authority that rests with the Supreme Court. And so that was the attempt, the changes we're attempting to make. And I would like to clarify as well, when we talk about this change would give the legislature the authority, it gives the legislature the same authority it has in any other area. It would open up the process to someone to carry a bill to change the process. You'd go through public hearings, so people like Nicole and Lisa and people from all over the state could come in and testify. The industry could testify, and then it would either make it through the legislature or not. And in addition to that, then it also has to make it through the executive branch. So it would involve the executive and the legislative before any changes could be made. And so it would be a lot more transparent and a lot more public involvement, whereas right now the public really has nothing to say about this important part of our economy.
Yeah, and Nicole, that's kind of where you come in. How are you organizing? As you noted, 75,000 signatures across 40 districts. It's going to take a huge grassroots effort. Have you been traveling Montana, though, haven't you?
Yeah, I've been traveling Montana for a little while. We've been trying to organize. We've been at some events asking people if they're willing to help. We've got, my mom can tell you exactly how many people we have that are willing to help already and how many counties. But we've already started, and hopefully we can get enough people.
What's it like talking to those people, Nicole?
Well, a lot of them are really surprised that I am 12 years old and I'm organizing this with my mom, and I'm getting it somewhere, and a lot of them are really surprised and happy to help or at least get a few signatures around their with their neighbors and their family.
Yeah, what's been your experience? Does it make you, I know the more you do it, I guess, the better you get at it, the more comfortable you are with it. What's your takeaway now, kind of like 2 years into this process and really now stepping forward in a big way?
It's definitely really interesting going from just a bill in the legislature to a whole constitutional amendment and talking to all these people. It's a really interesting experience, and I'm so glad I was able to do it.
You know, I will add that I think our biggest wake-up call is that there's so many people, including elected officials who take an oath to the Constitution, who don't understand that oath, don't understand the roles of the three branches of government, don't understand the checks and balances, and didn't even realize the effects of having an unbalanced or loss of checks and balances in the system on something as simple as the licensing of attorneys. So it's been an educational experience both for us and in the process of educating other people.
I'm going to take a quick call. Lisa, I'm sorry we didn't, we were just going to Lisa, and then she had to leave. She was going to call and says she supports this activity. We'll take one call. Skip, listening, KLYQ in Hamilton. Good morning, Skip. You're on the air.
Good morning, Tom. And I think I've spoken to Lisa before, long distance from here to, I think she's over in the Red Lodge area. But I wanted to bring up another point. And by the way, Lisa, all those points you brought up were just exactly correct, even as we had spoken about them one day, I believe. And I wanted to ask also Representative Schillinger and her, with this upcoming election cycle, shouldn't we also be looking at making sure that these two possible retiring judges that are liberals, that we look into getting good candidates and the people getting educated about getting conservative candidates to put on Supreme Court?
Well, that's going to be sort of a different issue, Skip, and we'll probably hit that. I mean, that's an election issue. I certainly get the concern over that. But I don't know that I really want to go in that area.
I do think it plays in, and let me explain how it plays in. In order to have good conservative judges on the Supreme Court, you need to have good conservative lawyers to begin with.
Yes.
And if you don't have that because of the fear of being disbarred over frivolous ethics charges and things like that against our conservative attorneys, then you end up in that situation where there isn't anyone that wants to take that case. And usually, or take that position in the Supreme Court, and usually if you are a very good attorney, you're making a lot more money in the private sector, and so you have to be willing to take a pay cut, or you have to be willing to have another reason, a motivation to want to be on the Supreme Court. And so it makes it more difficult to find good conservatives for the Supreme Court. But this is not about trying to have more conservative lawyers or anything like
right.
that. This is about giving an opportunity for underserved areas of our state and underserved populations to actually have attorneys that would benefit them. And if you think about it, anyone can represent anyone else, but your attorney is so much more effective if, for example, you have a medical malpractice case and you have a former doctor who becomes a lawyer representing you. Or if you are a Native American and you have a case and you've got a Native American Indian representing you that culturally understands what's going on with your case, you're going to be that much more effective at representing your client. And that's what this is about, is giving people that have solid field experience in law enforcement, social work, whatever it might be, the opportunity to not have to quit their jobs, go into debt, when they probably have families and mortgages they have to support, in order to follow their dream of becoming a lawyer in that field when they originally didn't. They originally just became a police officer. And so this is not just for kids. This is really geared for that adult who wants to make the transition into law and use their experience in their field to be a better practitioner.
Right. And I get it's ancillary, but this is, for me, pretty much a constitutional amendment to restructure the rulemaking authority for the Supreme Court and to put the legislature back in that place. It is a complicated issue, and there's a lot of ramifications. I'm thankful that we discussed all those. Nicole, I want to go back to you. Talk about this is going to take some grassroots help. Where do you think that help's going to come from? How are we asking for help now? How do we contact you?
Well, just asking around for people and just having one person gather 10 signatures from their neighbors and family is help we can ask for, just whatever signatures people can gather.
Oh, that's cool. Just take it one at a time, yeah.
And I have a phone number I can tell everybody.
So okay, are we good with this? Can you a phone number for people to call? And
yep.
Okay,
406-446-29, no, sorry.
It's 406-446-9823 is the phone number that they can use, and they can also email us Bennett, B-E-N-N-E-T-T, 0707 at gmail.com.
All right, so 446-9823.
446-9823, correct.
And then Bennett, say that again?
Bennett with two N's and two T's, B-E-N-N-E-T-T, 0707 at gmail.com.
All right. Any final thoughts, Jerry?
Well, I was just going to say, Tom, that I would encourage each of the representatives that voted for House Bill 965 to get a petition and in the normal course of your daily lives to get some signatures of your neighbors and constituents to help move this effort forward.
That's a good one. I think it was 45-55, wasn't it, where failure in the House?
That sounds about right.
Yeah. Yep. So there's some help. I think there are people willing. Lisa and Nicole, good job on this. I mean, this is not an ordinary, school project, so to speak. It's very much civic involved and engaged here, and it's a constitutional amendment. Good luck, and keep us informed, okay?
Thank you so much, Tom.
Thank you.
Yeah, good job. And Representative Schillinger, thank you as well.
Thank you, Tom. Awesome show.